David Trainer is here. He is president and founder at New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And here on Money Life, we are looking for trouble because David has taken us on a tour of the danger zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone, everyone. This is the part of the show where we talk with the experts from New Constructs. And David Trainer, of course, is the president and founder at New Constructs. He joins us each week at this time. And at New Constructs, it's a combination. It's forensic accounting meets cash flow analysis. And beyond that, it's trying to determine real earnings. Real earnings, well, at New Constructs, they do that by digging in at the footnotes level and then working their way up, where most people say, oh, what's the company telling me? I'll look at those numbers and work from the top down. When they find a discrepancy, well, if it works in your favor, then it's making something attractive. But if it's misleading and problematic, then it's dangerous. And we talk about the dangerous ones here. But if you want to see the most attractive and most dangerous stocks list, go to newconstructs.com. They also blog about all of their danger zone picks. So if you want more details on anything we're discussing here, it's there on their website. newconstructs.com, on Twitter, at newconstructs. David Trainer, good to chat with you again.
Always a pleasure, Chuck. Good to be talking with you, too.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
The Virtus Zevenbergen Innovative Growth Stock Fund.
Danger, danger. The Virtus Zevenbergen Innovative Growth Stock Fund. Its ticker symbol SAGAX. Now, this is a fund that actually has, in terms of Morningstar and Lipper and what have you, a pretty good reputation. And I know that a couple of our audience members have been looking at this fund because they were hoping we would get Nancy Zevenbergen on the show. We have never been able to arrange that. But at the same time, I know it's a fund that, well, it's like a lot of small funds, high expense ratio. That can't be the only thing that's bothering you, though. There's got to be something more than that that takes a fund that's got a good star rating, a reasonable star rating, and a good mark for total return from Lipper and puts it in trouble with you.
That's right, Chuck. You know, we've been spending a lot of time talking about earnings distortion and how we now have proof from Harvard Business School and MIT Sloan that our data is better at measuring earnings quality and cash flow. And the beautiful thing about our technology is that, you know, it applies to lots of stocks, which means we can analyze funds. We cover so many stocks that we can also cover the funds that hold those stocks. And when we apply the more discerning eye to the holdings of this fund, what we're seeing is that it's just not as good as people would expect, especially versus its benchmark and considering, as you mentioned, the high fees. And what I'm talking about here is, you know, how much does this fund invest in attractive or better rated stocks and unattractive or worse rated stocks compared to the benchmark, right? I mean, first of all, it's got something like 85% in unattractive or very unattractive stocks, which is bad in general, right? But, you know, the iShares Trust Core S&P U.S. Growth ETF, it only has 38, and that's the benchmark, right? So 85 in absolute is bad, but it's also worse when you can get an ETF which is going to cost you a fraction as much with a lot less exposure to bad stocks. At the same time, the Virtus Zevenbergen Innovative Growth Stock Fund allocates just 5% of its portfolio to attractive or better rated stocks compared to 20% for the iShares Core S&P Growth ETF. So, you know, you've just got it's just a mismatch. And I think what this comes down to is who, you know, how different people define different things. So we take from the prospectus that the fund depends on, quote, rigorous fundamental research and aims to identify stocks with, quote, price catalysts from positive revenue, cash flow, and earnings growth. On its face, it looks like a great statement, but we don't really have any details on exactly how it measures cash flow and earnings growth. And we now know, right, from independent third parties like Harvard Business School and MIT Sloan, that there can be a difference between what people think as the off-the-shelf earnings number is, you know, what they think about the off-the-shelf earnings number versus a more rigorously scrubbed earnings number. And so if this fund is just relying on the off-the-shelf data, then they got bad data. And what they see is good earnings growth, as we showed in one of our last Danger Zone calls, right? We're saying how the market is showed a 1% decline in earnings, where really true core earnings went down 6%. And so, look, there's a disconnect here between what your traditional fund managers might be looking at, and there's now a better data set, and it's not just me saying it. It's Harvard Business School and MIT Sloan, and it's going to lead to people making mistakes, as what we're seeing here. They think they're in a bunch of good stocks, and we're saying these stocks are not as good, and not only is the earnings quality worse, but the expectations baked into the stock prices are pretty, you know, are way, way higher. Across the board, this fund ranks worse than its benchmark, because the expectations baked into the stock price for future cash flows for this fund are more than double the expectations for future cash flows baked into the benchmark. So you've got bad quality holdings. And by the way, this isn't unusual, Chuck, right? When people don't understand profits, they don't understand valuation. Yeah. Assuming they care about fundamentals, right? Let's just back to first principles. If you think a business is profitable, then your valuation is obviously going to be higher than if you thought a business was not profitable. And so clearly, if profits are worse than what they seem to be, then your valuation needs to change. And so what's happened is that the fund is crossways with what the true fundamentals are, because they're probably using the off-the-shelf stuff, which is what most everybody uses, and why your listeners get to benefit from getting the good stuff from new constructs.
In terms of a fund like this, I know that you're never going to rely on Morningstar data. But if I look at Morningstar data and I just look for the last 10 years, this is a fund that has had four of those 10 years where it finished in the top 10% of its peer group. But it's had four of those years where basically it finished in the bottom 10%. One year it finished 89th, so bottom 11%. But, you know, damn close to dead last 3 years. And most investors can't do the whipsaw. Is that where this is showing up, is in that kind of whipsaw, or does it show up in performance or someplace else?
We've been living in a world, everyone knows, like the, like valuation or fundamentals and value haven't really mattered, right? So these guys have been playing the game that a lot of money managers, you know, who claim to do fundamental research claim. They're really just growth investors, and so you're seeing growth-type performance, up and down, up and down. Right? You're hoping to make the right bet, catch the right fad stock, et cetera. I mean, it owns a bunch of danger zone stocks, which we know have done really well at times and not done so well at times, specifically speaking about Netflix, Tesla, Uber, Zillow. These are stocks that have seen good days and some bad days. We believe, ultimately, those days will kind of be bad. We think at least a couple of those won't stay in business forever or much longer. And so, you know, that's what happens when you're playing the growth game. You know, I mean, you're swinging for the fences. Sometimes you hit, sometimes you don't. You're basically swinging with your eyes closed because you're not really looking at the underlying fundamentals. But as long as you're swinging in the same direction as you think everyone else is swinging, which is the game most people play, you know, you hope to get lucky every now and then. And that's what's going on here. And look, they may continue to get lucky, and people may ignore the fact that there's a better version of earnings out there that's accessible to everybody and just keep the bad stuff. I kind of don't think so. I mean, the fact that, you know, we make what we do so accessible, there's sort of no reason to knowingly disregard a better data set. In fact, I think they're fiduciary risks for knowingly ignoring a better data set. So, you know, it comes back to that catalyst question. I can't tell you when the markets are going to adapt to a better technology, but I think they will eventually, and these guys will be caught flat-footed unless they adapt to the technology themselves.
It's the Virtus Zevenbergen Innovative Growth Stock Fund, SAGAX, this week's pick in the Danger Zone. David Trainer, thanks as always for talking to us about it on Money Life.
My pleasure, Chuck. Thank you.
That's David Trainer, everyone. And if you want more information on this week's picks or any of the picks, you go to newconstructs.com. They blog about their Danger Zone picks, and you can get more information there. David Trainer is president and founder at New Constructs, which is on Twitter at New Constructs. All right, we're heading for home on today's edition of Money Life. Up next, an extended big interview with Doug Ramsey, Chief Investment Officer at the Luthold Group. We'll talk money, markets, fishing, and more. And no, I'm not kidding. Stay tuned.